Well, look at that. It's another day, another movie. So welcome to Rainbow Flickers. My name is David, and I'm joined, as usual, with Anthony. How are you, Anthony?
I'm good, and I thought it was another week, another movie.
It could be another week, another day, another year. We never know with this period, really. But let's say another week, then.
Okay.
Another week, another movie. Welcome to Rainbow Flicker over the crimson screen. So, today is kind of a special episode because the movie I've chosen, it took me a while to decide if I wanted or not to talk about it. It's one of these movies that is infamous, this cult movie, maybe not as well known than other movies. We are talking, of course, about The Holy Mountain by Alejandro Jodorowsky. So, did you know, Anthony, the work of Jodorowsky before?
I've seen the other movie that he made.
El Topo?
The other one. I can't remember it, but it's got a
Santa
Spanish
Sangre.
Name. Yeah, I've seen that one, so I guess so.
Okay. So, this one we are talking about, 1973, Holy Mountain, is one of his earliest movie. So, well, what was your thought after you've seen it?
I feel like anything I say is not going to be very, like, a fair assessment, because I feel like this movie definitely deserves to be watched at least the first time, where you're just like, what the fuck? And then the second time, you can go and pick apart the symbolism. So there's a lot of it, you know?
Yes. What is very important to understand about this movie is 1973. The cinema is into this kind of a weird 1960s symbolism, magic era. And Jodorowsky created this movie, which is mostly symbols, mostly a fable, with very few dialogues, very few words in the movie.
Oh yeah, I realized that. I was like, wait, is this like a silent film?
It is, actually. He actually decided to try to remove as much words and dialogue as possible, because for him, the important of the movie is the imagery. So it's a very weird movie. Jodorowsky is very fond of mystical things, tarot cards, Buddhism, Zen, all the cultures, basically everything which is based on the soul in other cultures. So this movie is full of it. It's full of this soul journey, which is not an easy watch, I would say, but interesting match.
I wouldn't say it's full of symbolism, but I do genuinely feel not everything in it, especially some of the more things that are a little bit more what the fuck. Some of them I do feel they're there just to kind of poke fun at itself, because it's not taking itself too seriously, but that's just my opinion.
It is, and it's let's remember that Jodorowsky is a Franco-Chilean director, so actually he come from the South America in the 70s. South America was pretty much plagued with dictatorships, mostly brought on by the CIA, if you remember the history lessons. So it was actually a very weird moment in time for this region, where communism was actually being quite big about doing things together, but the McCarthyism of America was just stopping this movement and putting in place this puppet in some ways, actually, we're controlling South America. And this is actually one of the critics in the movie. I don't know if you realized it.
I mean, like, to be honest with you, like I said, a lot of the first, for me, the first watch, a lot of the symbolism is kind of glanced over because you're just like, it's very jarring to see.
it.
So that's why I definitely feel like it deserves a second watch, at least for me, so.
No, I agree. This movie actually deserves several watch because based on where you are in your life, you will take out something different from that movie. And that's very interesting. I've seen it like maybe four or five times, and I still see new things in it that I didn't see before because I grew up and actually my brain just experienced new things. So I can actually pick up more, which is pretty interesting as a movie.
So have you seen it I guess with any drugs?
Once.
Okay, how was did that make it any different?
Not really. It's just
Okay.
some people say that you need to take drugs. I do understand why they would say that, but I've seen the movie psychedelic enough to actually watch it without needing one because you go on a trip anyway. So yeah, it's
Yeah, I was like, am I seeing this right? Are there frogs covered in blood that are also dressed very nice?
So let's start by actually talking about Jodorowsky. Jodorowsky is a French Chilean director. He's very well known for three movies, El Topo, The Holy Mountain, so that movie you're going to be talking about, and Santa Sangre. It's movie that were done in the 70s and 90s, between 80s and 90s. And he's also well known to actually have prepared a project that never were never done, unfortunately, which was an adaptation of Dune, of the book Dune, which would have been one of the most amazing movie you could have seen. There's a documentary about it, about that movie that was never made. When you imagine Orson Welles, Salvador Dali, with actually Ajay. H. Geiger and Moebius doing the design, it would have been an amazing movie. Fortunately, that was never done. So it's very much. Can I explain Jodorowsky? He's into symbolism, he critiques society. When nowadays people actually say that a movie is made to make money, Jodorowsky had been very famous saying that actually making a movie to lose money because it's not why he's not doing it to actually please the public or to actually make money. He make these movies to actually give a message to people. That's why this movie can actually be hard to watch at time, especially today. I think there's some sequences actually I was watching it and I was just like thinking, ooh, it's a bit limit there. Because especially about the animals or even the kids, I think there's some sequence here. I'm just like, oof, I don't know if this would be actually allowed now.
Oh, I think I remember the scene you're talking about too. Yeah,
Yeah, let's say there's a lot of animal violence in that movie. Holy Mountain, what Jodorowsky been trying to do with Holy Mountain, it was to make a movie that would be as profound as a biblical text or a Buddhist text. He didn't want to actually use the code of cinema by itself. He didn't want any actors that were well known. He didn't want to actually have a structure like movies have usually. No special effects. No dialogues and be really close to theater in this movie. So what he did, he saw that by using people of the street, he would be able to actually creating something much more true to reality and true to what he actually were trying to portray. For example, the prostitute in the movie was really played by the prostitute at that time. The millionaire was actually done by a millionaire. The Nazi in the movie was actually a real Nazi. So all the characters actually are played by people in real life that were actually these characters, which actually make it quite interesting.
Oh wow. I just I'm just thinking, I was like, wow, just imagine how being on set might have been like, oh wow, you have a Nazi, a prostitute, and a millionaire else just hanging
Well, they were
out.
all on drugs, so that's something you need to understand. The entire thing, the entire movie was shot in 40 days, and the making of the movie was as cathartic as actually the movie itself. So actually the character really experienced what you see in the movie, which is,
Oh, okay.
when you think about it, it is a bit some of the scenes, especially with the spiders, that's one of the scene actually I was really
Oh, that's the scene.
that's
Okay,
one of the
that's where you
scene
draw
with the spiders. I was just like,
the
oh my God, okay. So really actually what's interesting about this movie as well is his first movie was El Topo, and El Topo was so well received in some circle that John Lennon and Yoko Ono actually participated to finance this movie. So yeah, actually there is a connection between this movie and the Beatles, which is pretty interesting too.
The Beatles, really?
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
But the Beatles at that period, I don't know if you if you know the story, but they were going to India quite a lot and taking a lot of drugs.
No, I to be honest, I don't know that much about the Beatles. Not really. Wasn't my thing.
I grew up with my parents listening to the Beatles, so you know. Obladi, oblada. Another thing very interesting, it's the entire filming of that movie was made in Mexico without authorization. They actually
Okay.
shot the entire movie guerrilla style. The entire movie. So imagine that the scenes that you see in the movie, this movie was made without authorization from the state.
So did he get in trouble for that?
Well, he was basically he had to leave the country because they were going to shoot him. Were going to shoot him afterwards
Somebody's
because he was
hardcore.
actually criticizing one thing that you couldn't criticize that period in South America, which was a church, which is criticized quite a lot in the movie. So what they did to actually film a lot of the scene, they were actually getting people with fake uniform to block the streets so they can film the things and just get away. And when you actually realize, when you see the movie and you see the beginning especially, how huge the sets are, how huge the number of actors, the number of people that are actually participating in the imagery you see, the fact these scenes were not actually authorized to film is completely insane to me.
Yeah, I'm like just thinking about it, especially the ones on the street. I was like, damn, they pulled all that off with just basically playing dress up with the police.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
That's crazy to me.
It is crazy, something we can't really do now, but
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you saw that that TikTok video where the guy was like, people don't really question anything, and he went in like in front of a Walgreens with like this detector thing, and he was just like scanning people before they walked into Walgreens, and people lined up and didn't even question it to have it done. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, but I think when you, if you think about the imagery, because let's talk about basically the story, so we can actually explain to people what happened. So we are following this this Christ figure called the Thief, which is a representation of the Fool in the tarot card, in the Major Arcana, which is found laying in the desert with flak covering his face. And he's befriended by a dwarf, a footless, handless dwarf, representing the Five of Swords, and the Petra into the city where they make money entertaining tourists. So that city is obviously a dictatorship, a city in a dictatorship, a lot of Nazi imagery, a lot of military imagery. When you see people being shot, being killed, while being filmed by tourists, because for the tourists, actually, this is interesting to film or to shoot. They actually don't realize actually what they see. They see it as entertainment, but actually, it's real life.
Yeah, when they all run up to them after they get killed and they're just like taking pictures, I was like, okay.
But this is pretty much the fact that it really criticizing the fact that it was a plea of the people in South America, and people were not actually doing anything to help these people. They were looking at it as actually like a show and not actually doing anything to help. And a lot of European country and American country, the Americans and the Europeans, especially Margaret Thatcher in that period, were complicit to it. Complicit to let actually the Pinochet, for example, killing a lot of people, doing genocide, because it was stopping the Communist Party to be in power. And this is one of the criticism there is in that movie. The fact that everyone is complicit. The Western world is complicit of the genocide that's happening in that city. The church as well is complicit. When we can see the church, in a church you see this ball when actually the devil is singing, when actually men and soldiers are dancing together. And you see a priest having a sexy time with a statue of Jesus Christ in a bed.
That was fun.
That was fun, yeah. So then you can understand why maybe Mexico wasn't really keen on having this movie shot there, knowing that the church was receiving a really, really bad rep with that movie. With the nun being a man dressed up as a woman, drinking alcohol before using the body of the thief as a representation of Jesus Christ to sell it to tourists.
Wait, the nun was a man? I gotta rewatch.
Yeah, it was a man with a beard and everything else, dressed up as a nun. They actually. It's really like you got in one way, you've got this imagery when they spend a long time in that city, when you actually see people being killed, people being used as prostitutes. One scene with little kids coming out of a church, dressed up like the other prostitutes and being actually like groomed by this old man who give her his eye, his glass eye, for example. It is a very dark and very depressing place. It's awful place. It's an awful place. And then you got the history. They tried to redo the history of the conquest of South America by Christopher Columbus, by the Spanish, with frogs for some reason. Very well-dressed frogs. So you can imagine the number of people who actually had to be used to just put the little costume on the frogs.
Oh, I know. I was like, oh.
It was cute until you realized it actually killed them all by actually make the fucking set explode afterwards.
Yeah. Oh my god, those poor frogs. No.
So you've got really what he tried to criticize is the way that even the history of these countries are used as entertainment. People are actually using it to entertain others. People seem to have forgotten the history, using it as entertainment and being obsessed with Jesus Christ and actually the church, which create this sensation because the church is complicit with the state in creating this sensation when actually everyone is in danger. People actually get killed. There's a genocide going on. It's a very, very dark, dark area. And the thief meet the alchemist who live in the tower. And the alchemist is going to actually make him understand what it is to be human.
Just so for anyone out there watching it, yes, there is a story. So I know that once you watch it the first time, you're gonna be like, I don't get it. But yeah, see, there's a story there, right?
There's a story, and if you think about it, the first word that is uttered pretty much in the movie is with the alchemist. So first time you hear the word is the alchemist saying it.
Yeah, that when I first heard a voice, I was actually shocked. I was like, wait, did that come from the movie? I thought it was a silent movie.
So, and this is where things become even weirder than actually that it already was, because the alchemist is able, to transform things into gold, and so the thief character decide to have a little poo into a box to make it turn into gold.
Oh yes, that I think that was the scene I messaged you about. I was like, did he just turn shit into gold?
Yeah, it did. But that was a symbolism, actually, about the
I got
alchemist
there.
to proclaim, sorry, you're an excrement, but you can change yourself into gold. And it pretty much the thief starts this journey of discovery of actually becoming a master, becoming an holy man. With the help of this alchemist, and become his apprentice. So far, it makes sense, I hope.
Yes, it makes sense.
Eventually, the alchemist explained to him about the Holy Mountain, the place where. Apparently, based on those different cultures, you've got these people living on top of the mountain, and these people are immortals and they are controlling the world. And the idea for them is to try to go to the top of the mountain and dethrone them and take their place and learn the secret of immortality. For that, they
I
need to
thought.
actually have eight, no, seven different people. Which represent the cancer of the world we're living in, which each of them having a representation of the planet.
Well, I thought it was funny the guy who could only he could go through the wall.
Horizontally.
Yeah, he couldn't go vertically. I was like, oh.
So you've got basically, so you're these seven people, and we actually introduce these seven people. So I'm gonna actually get the list because they're important, but they're actually part of the reason why the city that we see at the beginning of the movie is the way it is. All these people is responsible of the state of the world around us. So you've got a cosmetic manufacturer representing by Venus, who actually talk about you can't we don't need to be real, we actually have to wear masks, we can wear masks, and actually we don't need to be real. It's about fakeness. A weapon manufacturer represented by Mars. And the weapon manufacturer is very interesting because it create gun. Based on the religious symbols. So that was pretty interesting. You got a millionaire art dealer, represented by Jupiter, that actually art is now a commodity. It's not something, it's not an art anymore, but a commodity. One scene really making it clear when he's talking about every season we release new art, and you see a line of people just painting a canvas with their ass, a cheek.
Oh, my favorite scene.
Well, it's not art anymore. It's becoming manufacturing. It's the manufacturing of something that was supposed to be pure.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? You have a war toy maker representing Saturn. And the war toy maker is actually there to do one thing, on one thing only, is to prepare the kids into war. And this is actually one, is the stuff I was telling you about early on. When she explained how to actually prepare the kids into war, which is to create an enemy and to use everything used by kids to remind them of the enemy, including comic books, which is very famous because if you think about it, in the 50s, you had a sci-fi movie in the US or even like some comic book that were against the communists, or using alien as actually an idea of the communist threat. And actually that's what they're criticizing in that scene. Actually, the way they're controlling the kids to actually make them think about something, to creating an army for the future. So you see the kids coming into the factory and you just see all people with weapons coming out. Then you got a political financial advisor represented by Uranus. And that person living with his wife or girlfriend, a nice little life, you know, with half naked men around them, dressed up in fishnet suspenders, really happy. But when the president come and talk to them, they just happily say, well, in order to save the country, we need to actually kill 4 million of the poor people. That would be the only way to save the country financial system. Then you got the police chief, represented by Neptune. The police chief that actually, for me, the first time I saw the movie, I just saw that the police chief could actually be an extra in Mad Max.
Yeah.
Or in Rocky. And that police chief really represents the way some people are blind to actually, are so blind by justice. It starts with actually a little kid, a teenager, having his ball chopped off and put into this giant room full of testicles. And actually they take the laws as a god in some way and stop thinking actually about what's right, what's wrong. They're just following the rules. And actually that's one of the criticism of that character. Then you've got an architect, which is represented by Pluto. And the architect really just is very clear. What we want to do is make money. We don't want to create an apartment building with running waters and actually sanitaries and gardens and places for kids to play, because it doesn't make us money. We need to find a new way to do it. So we decide to create these giant cities full of graves in some way, like caskets, because they say we don't need to make them actually eat. They can't eat in the factories. They can just go there to actually sleep, and it's a giant casket, and people just go in a casket and actually go and sleep. And when they die, you can remove the casket and put another one there. How to make money. So these are very nice people. The people that are going to be following the alchemist and his apprentice into the early mountain, who supposedly will be controlling the world. So, Anthony, now that we actually met all the protagonists of the movie, what did you think of them? Of what they represented? And more importantly, do you think this character, this... effigy in some ways are still relevant today?
What? They're super relevant today. Actually, most of what this movie was talking about is still very relevant today. I mean, you could copy and paste this to a lot of places today, and the themes would still be very, meaningful. So.
Which is the power of that movie, and actually the power of cinema in the 70s, which is a lot of the movies are actually like still relevant. And just imagine this movie was only done with $750,000.
Oh, only 750,000. Okay.
Considering what you see in the movie, yeah, it's
I
pretty.
mean, for the 70s, that's a lot of money, sir.
For what we're seeing, I don't think it is.
Okay.
So we also in that moment when we actually start to meet the other protagonists, which also got their wax effigies around the rooms. They actually when they are talking, it's where the movie kind of change of pace and change of style, because every characters we see become their own little performance piece. I don't know if you realize actually have every character's got a different style of actually showing it. It becomes this kind of a comedic scene in some ways for every characters. Come on, you can't tell me that you didn't laugh when actually the when they talk about the manufacturer of cosmetic, which as the chief of the chief of the company is actually old and blind, and he actually make decision by putting his fingers into his wife's vaginas to actually, if the vagina is wet, it's a yes, otherwise it's a no.
Wow. So he was sticking in the vagina. I thought he was sticking it in the butthole.
No, it was in the vagina.
Oh. Okay. Because I saw that and I was like, what the hell does David have me watching?
But it actually really, it pretty much, if you think about it, they're actually the people who are actually selling cosmetic and mask are actually one, not that good looking, not that good looking, that was number one. And they're actually blind. The person who is the chief of the cosmetic industry is blind. It was actually a pretty, for me, it was funny.
And then we have the art over there that's being mass produced, and
Which is people do with boxes actually. When you tickle the penises with feathers. I don't know how he managed not to have a hard on, let's be honest. I was
I mean,
thinking
have
about
you
this, I was just like, bloody hell.
I mean, have you ever tried to get a hard on in a room full of people while you're naked?
No, never.
Okay.
Have you?
The question was for you, sir.
No. Yeah, I knew that movie would have that effect on people.
We love to see it.
So we've got this group of people, and actually, as you say, they're still relevant. They're going to be the one that want to become immortal and control the world. But in order to do that, they need to do one thing, and they need to abandon themselves. They need to abandon everything about themselves. So the first thing they had to do is burn the money. The second thing they have to do is to burn their wax effigies, so they actually become just a blank canvas. And the entire journey they're going to do toward the Holy Mountains, an initiatic journey, they're going to get rid of everything that make them attached to what actually the world is, and to become pretty much a pure soul, and actually worthy enough to become immortal and actually to control the world. So the entire last maybe half an hour of the movie is this journey when actually they are walking toward these holy mountains, and that's where we actually have this this bar they went to, which is at the foot of the early mountain. When you've got that guy, you actually can traverse the mountain horizontally, not vertically, for example. Or people who just realize, and this is actually a very important way of actually looking at reaching Buddhahood, which is all these people in that bar have this were close to actually the goal of the early mountains, but they decided to stay there and actually be stuck with art, drugs, and physical prowess. These people are prisoner of their own vice, of their most their worst earthly desire, in order to actually reach kind of Buddhahood.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, actually. That scene was really funny. The guy you can only traverse the mountain horizontally was fun, because I'm
Yeah, he
strong.
said he's strong. He's like, I've already won.
But you haven't been on top of it. I don't care. When horizontally, I traverse it horizontally. I don't need to go up there. Or even the drugs, the fact the guy you actually start to talk and he just put all these drugs in his mouth, and does everything he said don't make any sense anymore. And they are really tempted to actually, like, they're kind of tempted to actually stay there, because it is easier to actually be stuck in this worthy in this earthly desire than actually to do this big, big climb towards the top of the mountains.
And then I think it was like what the ending scene where they were like a set on a set, right?
Yeah, but first of all, they actually have to climb the tree. At one point, there is one of the character, which is the arm manufacturer, who start to have sex with the mountains.
As you do.
Yeah, it's just like, I can't move any further. No, it's because you're scared of what's on top. Just have sex with the mountain. And she start to actually, like, thrust herself onto the mountains. That was pretty weird.
Do you have sex with mountains? Do you?
No, I try to avoid. It's a bit, it hurts.
New kink unlocked.
One thing is very interesting, actually. Like, you actually, you might wonder, like, because you can see the actors were pretty weird at one point. They will look actually. I don't know how to explain it, but if you see the movie, and you must have realized that the actors at one point felt they were really living that situation. They were actually living. Well, it was because the director decided to administrate them with some mushrooms. Like, the entire death rebirth scene, when they're actually sitting next to each other and everything else, they actually were all on shrooms.
Oh, this is hilarious to me. It all makes sense
It
now.
does it. And so at the end, they actually manage to go on top of the mountains, when they find the immortal in f around the table. Or do they? Do they find this immortal on top of the mountain around the table? They don't.
I was like, I don't think they did.
No, they don't, because the mountain's only a symbol. The mountain don't exist. The truth is, actually, we're all stuck into this initiatic journey was about actually getting rid of actually what make us failures as human: money, power, earthly desire, drugs. And that journey was for them to actually understand what it is to really to be human, so they can actually free themselves from this world and actually move forwards into actually, I would say, Buddhahood, because in some way that's actually what's all about. It's actually reaching this kind of nirvana in some way. Don't know if you felt this. They don't say it specifically, but it reminds me a lot about actually the journey of Buddha. in some way.
Okay.
Okay, you don't agree with me, okay.
No, it's not the first time that you're not the first person that said that, because I watched another video of someone reacting to it and they were saying the same thing, so I'm guessing, yeah.
And then you actually have the Alchemist, which actually is played by Jodorowsky himself. You see, actually, the director played the Alchemist, who actually break the fourth wall and actually show to people that this is not real life, this is a movie. And actually, the journey they actually experience is for people to understand, well, that we are stuck in this earthly desire and we need to actually get rid of them in order to actually reach this mythical holy mountain, which is the reach of Nirvana. And he tell people to, okay, it's time for us to quit this holy mountain and actually come back to real life.
And they do.
And they do. Credits. Title card.
So wait, was that like a scene within a scene? Like, because I saw the camera and everything, and I was like, oh, okay. Fourth wall break? But then I realized it was just like, what, a scene in a scene?
It's a fourth wall break, yeah, actually, pretty much, yeah. Saying this is not real love, this is cinema. And you're all basically watching this cinema, you're all watching this, you're all experiencing that journey with us. And maybe it's time for you to actually accept that journey and actually doing it yourself. They were on drugs, what do you want me to say? I guess it makes sense if you're on shrooms.
I do feel like I'm lacking an experience not watching it on shrooms, so I guess I add that to my to-do list.
But overall, this movie can be hard to watch because there is some scenes, especially when they go up the mountain, they're actually doing the last spell of the journey, and all the characters are pretty much facing the worst fears and obsession. And one of them, actually, I found it really hard to watch, was actually the two dog fighting.
Oh yeah, the dog fighting. I was like, okay, calm down, Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, that was actually I found it really hard to watch that scene. Or even the scene when actually I don't know how many chicken there were. There's so many chickens on the tree.
Those poor chickens.
And then the spider, of course. And then this very weird thing when actually the creator of weapons is scared of sex. So actually she's underneath two cow actually having sex, and she getting her face smothered with some white thing.
And that what you're thinking?
Well, this is what I was saying. I think you were thinking the same thing, sir, because it was pretty obvious. And there's this man, and then the thief will actually meet this this man who's got half a beard, who start to spray him with milk from his titties in the shape of a tiger.
Oh, yeah. That's where this movie.
But for the listeners, it does make a bit of sense when you're watching the movie.
Yeah, now they have your guy, you know what to look for.
But it does make sense. But it's true that I did find that the second part of the movie is maybe a bit less, can be a bit more boring at the beginning.
I mean, sure, we'll go with that.
For me, I did actually find it more boring. I found actually it was lesser, maybe because the mountain is pretty much gray, and actually had much more vibrant colors inside in the beginning of the movie. I don't know. It's just like
maybe that was a metaphor too, sir.
Maybe it was. The real life is not about color.
Right.
It's a journey.
Look, you cracking the code again.
I know, I know. But overall, I do believe it's there's the reason why actually I chose that movie is because we don't maybe people don't really watch that much of these older movies like this. I think like Holy Mountain is a movie that need to be experienced at least once. But this movie might not be on people's radar unless you know someone who actually seen it, who knows about it. Because you're not gonna see it on TV. That's a movie that you're not gonna see on on TV. It's just like no. You know. Until 2006, the movie was not even able to be released on DVD or Blu-ray. It was actually released
Really?
in 2006. So it was only part of this kind of independent cinema on the midnight shows as a double bill with El Topo.
That makes sense.
When you actually go there, half drunk, stone or on shrooms, I guess. Like you do in Los Angeles, apparently.
I guess so.
So there, so Holy Mountains, an experience,
Definitely an experience.
definitely an experience. Would I recommend it? Yes, I believe that is very important to actually watch movies that might be a bit different and maybe a hard watch from time to time because we need this because nowadays movies are a bit too formatted. This is completely different. It's really the same vein of movie like Salo or the movie The Big Feast, which is maybe a movie I might actually put onto the list one day. The Big Feast. I will see.
Look at you, those wheels are turning.
We'll see how it goes. But it's for me, is it a perfect movie? No. Does he have a message? Yes. Does the message relevant? Yes. But is it a movie you can watch like this? Just like, oh, today I'm going to watch the movie. No, I believe that you need to be prepared to watch it. You need to be in the right state of mind to watch it. It's not a movie that you can watch while using your phone, like doing something else. This movie need to be really watched and not actually just
Yeah.
seen.
I mean, to be fair though, you can't really watch it while on your phone anyways for like the first half because there's no dialogue. There's no vocals, so you had to pay attention.
Also, even the dialogues are actually not that important. If you think about it, it's actually the imagery that's the most important. Very simple. The tarot, we see the tarot card at the beginning of the movie. We see it actually like the four and the fifth, the fifth of swords. We see them basically at the beginning, at the first 5 minutes of the movie on screen. So you realize there is actually symbolism going on. And you might not understand everything. That's something people need to understand. Is this movie is not meant to actually understand everything straight away. A lot of the symbolism there was in the movie actually understood it afterwards, which was pretty interesting. You're just like, oh, that's why. You study as this kind of eureka moments happening in your brain when you start to talk to the movie with someone else. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've had those ones talking to you about it, so
And that's not being not a perfect movie, I would give it a 6 out of 10. Simply because it's not for everyone. And you need to actually do the work to actually understand and appreciate that movie.
okay. Wow.
What about you?
I'll give it 5 crystals out of 10. I enjoy the message. I enjoyed it visually, but I need to watch it again. So I guess technically I need to like postpone my my crystals.
Five makes sense. Five does make sense because it's not a movie you can give 10. It's a movie that makes you uncomfortable. Can you actually make a 10 with a movie that makes you uncomfortable?
I don't think it made me uncomfortable. Most of when I was watching it, I was just like, okay. No, I mean, I know you guys can't see my face, but I was a little perplexed at times. I was is this really happening? Like, especially, the violence with the animals. I was like,
I did love the fact you
Sorry.
sent me a message just telling me, okay, I just arrived to the moment when actually she's washing his anus.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
So yeah, again, I'm gonna be Mr. Weird Movie. I have a feeling, never mind. I think we're gonna do a Theodore Rex next time with me. I think we're just gonna do
Yeah.
one with Whoopi Goldberg and a farting dinosaur. I think that would be next movie.
He's not Mr. Weird Movie, but this one I was like, yeah, sorry. Sorry, honey, you're on your
Come on, it's important to actually realize this is a cult movie. This is a movie that
Yeah.
deserved to be seen, and that was very important. And even the entire making of the movie is actually as exciting, actually, what the movie was trying to say. Oh, there, Holy Mountain, Jodorowsky. A
And
trip.
I guess on that note, I mean, is there anything else you want to add to it, sir?
I don't have anything to add, but next time will be your turn to choose a movie, and
Yes.
you have an idea what you want?
I actually don't.
Ooh.
It's a surprise.
Okay. So on that note, I guess we're just gonna say farewell to you, and
And
have a nice rest of the week.
the nice rest of the week. The nice rest, I guess, 2 weeks, I guess. Because
That's
we'll see
true.
them in 2 weeks.
So we'll see each other in 2 weeks' time. Cheerio.
Yeah. Please don't say that again.
I'm not gonna say cheerio, then I'm just gonna say goodbye.